Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down in South Georgia. We have been praying for you guys since Hurricane Michael decided to come through here and just wreak havoc on South Georgia. And there's so many families down there that are still suffering. We're still praying for you. We're certainly sending supplies your way from the Columbus area. You know, one thing I can say about us as Americans, as Georgians, is that whenever our fellow neighbors are in need, we never, never hesitate to step up and do what we got to do. This is a moment where partisan and political affiliation is totally irrelevant. I don't care if you are a Republican. I don't care if you are a Democrat. You have men walking around with chainsaws, just cutting trees for folks, clearing roads, getting trees off of elderly people's homes. And it doesn't matter what happens politically, because we understand that as Americans and as Georgians, we have to take care of each other. And it's just so heartwarming to see that spirit of love, that spirit of cooperation. And it always makes you wonder why we can't continue the same spirit all the time. Why can't we stay in the same silo of love and peace and happiness and willingness to help? And I think we can. I think we can if we do not let politicians who have to live, who have to thrive off of division and hate and bigotry, if we do not allow them to step in and get in the way of our progression, our love for thy neighbor, our willingness to help thy neighbor, then we will continue to be a better people. Will we always agree on things? No, we will not always agree on things. But the best recourse is for us to agree to disagree sometimes and not take it personal and not let it get to us. So, South Georgia, we are still praying for you. Florida Panhandle, some of you guys can hear us too down that far. We are still praying for you too. We hope that we have all the power restored to everybody soon. A lot of smaller counties down in Georgia, we have not forgotten about you. We are here with you. We are here with you. All right. So we're going to move on with today's show. Unfortunately, the same old song that we've been singing for a long time here in Columbus, Georgia, we're still singing. And that is that song that we need to do something about the level of crime that we have here in our city. Unfortunately, we've experienced our 29th homicide for this year, and it is just unbelievable. You know, and it kind of touched me in a way that was unexpected. During pre-K week, I was at a pre-K on Casita Road reading to the kids when staff came through telling us to close the blinds and lock the doors and things of that nature. And you know, my senses just told me that something was going on. And what that something was, I wasn't sure. But I wanted to continue to read to the children because I didn't want them to become alarmed. And as we're reading and as we're wrapping up reading about the typing cows, you know, we leave. They let us out of the building. The people that I were with, the Junior League of Columbus, shout out to those phenomenal women for making sure that such programs happen here in our city. I went to Facebook and I saw that a shooting had just occurred two streets up from where I was. And so my heart led me over there, and I went over there and I ran into a good friend of mine from Albany State University. We actually attended college together, and I was talking with him and the neighbors, and it was just such a sad occasion. And many of you probably saw the articles in the paper. You probably saw the news reporting about Swan Street and when the mother arrived, and you know, I happened to be out there during that period. And I tell you, I am tired. I am sick and tired of seeing mothers cry in the street as they watch their sons lay dead on their front yard. That is unacceptable. It's totally unacceptable. Nowhere in no inch of this city is that something that we want to continue to perpetuate for our young men that we're trying to grow up to be boys. We don't want them to see this as the norm. And I refuse to believe that it's too late. I refuse to believe that it's too late. And guess what? The mother of that young man that lay dead there in that yard, I spoke with her at the funeral this past Friday, and she too does not believe that it's too late. She too believes that we can still reach our young people and stop some of this senseless killing. And that's what I want to talk about today. And I have two people here with me today that I think are highly qualified and certainly knowledgeable to talk about the situation. Being there from Columbus, born and raised here, went to high school here, know a lot about what's going on with the community. One of them is the young man that I was just telling you that I met with there in the community when I arrived on the scene. And that's Mr. William Chisholm. How you doing today, Will?
I'm all right. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing just fine, Will. Thank you so much for taking time to be here today to have this conversation with us. And also have with me a great guy who, even before his transition back to Columbus, even though this is home, he was reaching out to people on social media saying, you know, I don't like what's going on in my city. I don't like the direction that we're headed in. And when I get back, I want to hit the ground running. We need to be making a difference. We need to be making an impact. And that young man contacted me when he got here. He contacted me before he got here. And he has been true to his word. And he has been working hard, doing what he can to move the needle here in this city. And that's Justin Allen. How you doing, Justin?
Doing well, Teddy. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you guys so much for being here. So, fellas, let's talk. We're not going to sugarcoat it today. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Everybody heard the disclaimer that what I say on this show is not a reflective of Davis Broadcasting, but it's my opinion as the radio show host. And I invite people on who's going to have a real conversation with me, not try to be politically cute. I don't have time for that.
Right.
Got to have some real conversations because we're losing too many of our young people. We're losing too many of our children altogether. The fact that a 18-year-old girl was gunned down in the middle of Macon Road like we're in the Wild Wild West is just absolutely unbelievable. Why is there not outrage about that, Justin?
Absolutely. It's hard to say, Teddy. I think that there is outrage, but at the same time, I don't think that people feel like they can truly make a change. When you see it so often, you become numb to it almost, and it's draining to hear about day in and day out someone, a young life being lost to gun violence, a young black life being lost. You know, we see it all across the city. We see it across the country. We see it across the state. It's draining. It's very draining.
It is draining, and it's also tiring, you know.
Right.
But we got to find that energy.
I agree.
To move forward. I'm sure Dr. King them got tired, Justin.
I agree.
I'm sure on that walk from Selma to Montgomery, there was somebody who said, "Ooh, Lord, my feet hurt."
Right, right.
But they kept moving.
They did.
Will, you work at Girls Inc.
Right.
You are watching the maturity and the development and the involvement of other professional women in our city with these young girls on a daily basis. You know, do you see hope there?
I see a lot of hope. And one of the major reasons why I feel hope is there is because these young girls have attitude. Sometimes they have misplaced feelings, but that's our job, to put them in the right place. Mm-hmm. Instead of criticizing, we need to give them the knowledge to actually place their feelings in the right place, and that's where I come in as the assistant director there. And as being the only male in a supervisory position at Girls in Columbus, it is a very big responsibility for me to actually step in and be like, hey, you know what? This is not the way you do things. Hey, let me show you how. Because I've been in a situation where I actually was working on the other side of the track where the children actually went through the cracks, and now they have to do their time. And I had the keys, so they had to answer to me on a daily basis for 12 to 16 hours.
Wow.
So it's tough to actually see these children from that aspect.
Right.
But it's also encouraging that I actually now am in a supervisory position to show these girls, hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. You don't want to do this, or you might go to this route, and you don't want to go this route.
Now, Will, you went to Hardaway High School.
Right.
And you and I met at Albany State University. The Golden Rams, baby. We make the best in the brightest.
Already. Already.
We're not going to say nothing about your Tuskegee connections, okay? We just going to leave that alone. But Will, when I saw you out there that day on Swan Street, I could tell that you were visibly and emotionally disturbed. Now, you spent some time with that gentleman that lost his life that day, right?
Yes, sir. And I'm going to say this like this. He used to live with me.
Mm-hmm.
My mother took him and his stepfather in, and they lived with us, I believe, right at 4 years. I did my best with him with his ABCs, his numbers. Matter of fact, him and my niece slept in the same bed, upstairs, next to my room. So, and I was just out of college. I was at the house with my mom. And I visibly saw this young man grow up. So, what a lot of people didn't know was I was coming there to see if, you know, one of my close, my childhood friends, I'll make sure that he was okay. But he was standing next to you.
Right.
And so when I saw him, that's why you saw me give him and his sister a hug.
Right.
Because I was just happy it wasn't them.
Right.
So when I walked over there, what y'all don't know is when y'all saw me drop my charger and my phone, that's when I realized it was him. I didn't even know. So when I came over there, I looked and saw his mother, Deanna. And I want you to know, Deanna, I'm praying for you, baby. I want you to know I love you. I'm still praying for you. We praying for you.
Absolutely.
We got you in our prayers. I told y'all I'm going to shout you out, and I meant what I said. We love you. We got your back.
And we going back to see her.
Exactly.
We're going back over there because we promised her we're coming back, and we are.
Exactly. That's the thing that really got me. So when you saw me go over there, I didn't even know it was her because, all of us were together.
What were you feeling internally knowing that you had actually helped to shape and mold this young kid? And from what I'm hearing, you know, let me just say this, because society has the tendency sometimes, every time they hear about a young black man being shot or something, he must have been a gang leader. He must have been a thug.
Right.
He must have been dealing with drugs. Absolutely. Or something of that nature. Everything I heard about this young kid was positive. Everything I heard about him was on the up and up.
And that's what it was. And here's the thing, the beautiful thing about it. Yes, he had been in a little trouble. What people don't know is when I started doing my time in corrections, where I was with correction officers at Aaron Cohen RYDC, he was on my unit. My first day coming in, on my first day, he was the first person I saw on my unit because I talked to his mother before he had got in trouble and got convicted, and I knew about it. 2 months later, I saw him when I started working there. My 2 years he was there for most of the time, but I'm going to tell you something about him. With all due respect to all the laws that they try to say, you are behind the bars, you deserve to be there. Let me tell you something. He was a young man that needed a chance. I gave him that chance, and he earned his chance to get out. Yeah, he messed up a few times. Exactly. He gave himself that chance. And not only that, but yeah, he messed up a few times. But when he got out this time, he was on the up and up.
You know what? If we continue, and that goes into a whole nother subject of prison reform and reentry reform. And I'm sure Walisa Wilson or somebody like that would love to have that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because we do a horrible job at preparing the people that we are supposed to be rehabilitating. Huh. Justin,
I agree 100%.
That's what jail is for, to rehabilitate people. Mm-mm. Not to, once they transition out, have them in a position where they still down. Exactly. Oh, you got to check a box, so therefore we're not going to hire you.
Yep.
Even though you don't have to check the box anymore, they still do the background check.
Yep.
So, you know, don't appease me by just taking away the box if you still going to look at my background and judge me for something I did that I'm no longer doing.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I agree 100% with that, Teddy. And, I mean, even when you look at it, my mom told me growing up, I had 2 strikes against me already because I'm a black man. You add a simple misdemeanor onto that, and you are almost negated from majority of the opportunities that are available to the average American.
75%.
Then you take on the fact that a felony, and it's almost like, well, what can I do? What can this person do to make a better life for themselves? What can this person do to make a better life for their families? No one wants to be in prison.
Right.
No. Everyone wants an opportunity. So when you strip an opportunity away from a person, someone that was that has already grown up through situations and circumstances that majority of the people don't have to deal with.
Exactly.
What options do you give them but to make it on their own? They haven't been taught true entrepreneurship.
Right.
They haven't been taught
but
how to manage.
Really could they really get a business loan anyway?
Right. Absolutely. Nope.
Nope.
You know.
Nope.
So it's like, you know, let's not communicate. And I'm not saying you're doing that.
Right.
But that's
right.
What
right. Right.
Generally, let's not communicate the falsehoods.
Right.
Let's come up with some real solutions.
I agree.
On how we can put these folks to work, because I do believe, Justin, deep in my heart, that many of them just want to work. Now, you work for Goodwill.
I agree. Absolutely.
And I love the Goodwill facility on Macon Road. Absolutely. Where people can come in and get help with the resume. They can get help with finding particular jobs. Goodwill is doing amazing work over there on Macon Road.
Absolutely.
Right. How do we help more people find out about those services?
This is exactly how. Goodwill on Macon Road, as Teddy said, not the store, but behind Logan's Roadhouse. And Teddy, now that we're on this subject, we actually have a re-entry program that we're getting ready to crank up in November. Absolutely. One thing about Goodwill is we want to put people to work. You could come, all of these services are free. Resume assistance, time management classes, soft skills classes. You can come in, sign up for what's called our VIP program, and no matter who you are, what job you're searching for, we have classes. We have people there that want to assist you. We have people there, and it's just getting the word out. It's getting the word out. We are open. We are ready and willing to help people. I'm glad you brought that up, Ted.
Well, that's amazing because, you know, I was impressed from day one when I toured the facility. God rest her soul, but that was when Jane Nichols was still alive and she was still running Goodwill. And Jane Nichols was a friend to everybody.
Absolutely.
She didn't know a stranger, and she cared about this community.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still missed here. You know, because I truly felt from my conversations with her, my personal conversations with her, that she understood. I think there are too many people that work in nonprofits that they go home with a fake sense of feeling good, you know, because you sat in a boardroom and decided, oh, we got some resources and we're going to put it on the website. Oh, we have done an amazing job because we put it on the website. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way, Justin. We got to get out here and reach our people. We got to take the resources into the community, as I've heard you say before.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
We got to put the resources on the street.
Yes, sir.
We got to bring the resources to the corner, even if we need to park a mobile truck at the corner of Casita Road and Benning. I don't care. Let's put it right there. Let's take it down to East Witten. Mm-hmm. Let's take it over there to Oakland Park. Why can't we do that, Justin?
I think we can. I think the ideas have to be brought up as we're doing today. And I think it just takes one person that says, okay, I'm going to take a step outside the box and do it. And Teddy, since you mentioned it, I'm willing to put it together to get with some creative minds and say, all right, what do these people need to know? Where are the resources that they, where can they go to? And let's get the information out to them. Nobody can use resources that they don't know about.
You're talking about resources. There are tons of resources available. We just got to find ourselves in positions of power so that we can direct them.
Exactly.
And that comes down to vote. Exactly. And with that, I'm just going to take a quick break because I know we're about to get on another subject that's going to take us woo-woo. But you're listening into Sunday Conversation. I got two fired up young black men here in the studio with me today. Young professional men.
Absolutely.
That care about this community. They're from Columbus. I'm excited about both of them because I think they're going to be doing phenomenal things here in the future. I can certainly see both of them possibly under the Gold Dome or something one day. I don't know. You know, I'm just a radio show host. But at any rate, this is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I hope you're enjoying the show. We'll be right back, and we're going to continue our real, unfiltered, uncensored conversation about the problems that we're having with crime here in Columbus, talking with two individuals who grew up here in this city, who understands the dynamics of it, and talking about it from their perspective. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to get straight to the point. I need your help. More than 50 years ago this week, the Voting Rights Act became law, and for decades, it's made our democracy stronger, giving every American from every background and walk of life the right to vote. 50 years is a long time, though, and sometimes it's easy to forget all the work it took to get this law passed, all the organizing and marching, all the volunteers who registered voters, all the folks who, even if they knew they'd be turned away at the polls, stood up time and again for their right to vote. Today, we want to honor their legacy and continue their work to ensure that every eligible American casts their vote, work that is far from finished. And that's why I'm announcing When We All Vote's Week of Action. From Saturday, September 22nd through Saturday, September 29th, I'm going to be hitting the road with the When We All Vote team. And we want you to help us. We want you to help us by hosting events in your communities to get folks registered. We want you to help us get folks inspired and get them trained on how to keep spreading the word. So head to whenweallvote.org, Sign up to volunteer.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We are having an amazing conversation. I have two dynamic men here in the studio with me today. Both of them attended HBCUs. Both of them understand the culture. They understand the city. William Chisholm, graduate of Hardaway High School, and Justin Allen, graduate of Shaw High School. And you know Justin Allen, you know the Allen family that has deep roots here in Columbus, Georgia.
Absolutely.
My frat brother over there at the Bridge Church,
yes, sir.
Doing his thing. I'm so proud of the Allen brothers and the Allen nephews and sons and,
yes, sir,
and all the rest of them. And certainly we got to keep this work going. We got to keep it moving. But I'm just honored to be talking with two young men today that understand the role of young black professionals here in the city. And they're ready to pick up this mantle and they're ready to take their role and helping the community heal, helping the community grow, helping to take the community to the next level. We have a lot of people out there asking, where are our young leaders? Where are our young leaders? Well, I tell you what, just hold on, because they are surfacing. They are coming up now, and they are ready to do what we got to do to take Columbus to the next level. Will and Justin, you know, we had a very fiery first half, and I certainly want us to go into the second half of this conversation and make sure that it's just as detailed and passionate as the first half was. Justin, you went to Shaw High School.
I did.
You graduated in 2006.
Yes, sir.
What's your reflection of Shaw from 2006 to 2018, now about 12 years from where we are, what you see happening with the young people versus what happened with your age group when you were coming out of high school and graduating? Do you see a vast difference? Are things getting worse? Do you think they're getting better? What's your assessment?
I can only go by what I've heard from students that have attended Shaw. Mm-hmm. When I was there, it was about 50-50, as close to 50-50 as you can get. Rarely ever a fight, and it just sounds like these kids are fighting constantly. And like I said, I can only go by what I hear, but it seems like in every aspect with the generations, it's getting a tad bit worse.
Well, if you look at the number of students that have been arrested this year alone in our school district and those that are experiencing out of school suspensions, you know, it certainly supports that.
Yeah.
It supports that. So what do we do? Because the school-to-prison pipeline is real.
It's very real.
It's very real. It's not metaphorical as some people think it is. It's extremely real. Once we start paperwork on our young men, once we introduce them to that criminal justice system, it's something that continues to bring them back. It's like they get labeled.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they get labeled. And you know, and just, I really hate to see that. You know, How do we curb some of that? What do we do?
I think for every high, and this is one of my goals, for every high school senior to complete the FAFSA. Why do I say every high school senior should complete the FAFSA? Because if they are living in a low income area, 9 times out of 10 they're going to qualify for Pell Grant.
Mm-hmm.
That is potentially up to over $5,000 free money to go to school. If I know that I have money to go to school, the chances are I'm more likely to go. And then what does that mean? I can leave my normal environment, mm-hmm, the things that I've seen day in and day out, go somewhere, meet new people, exchange new ideas while getting a formal education.
How do we make that important to them? How do we change the order of priorities to where it's not priority to have on this new pair of Jordans, or it's not priority to snatch a man's chain at a concert, mm-hmm, or at a club or something, but it's actually priority to pass class so that I can go to college?
Absolutely. I think it's being in these schools consistently. I've been to Shaw High School, I've gone to Carver, Spencer. Every time I encounter a young black male especially, they are always respectful. They always want to know more about how they can do better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once we pique that interest, it is on us to be consistent. I have a young man that lives on my street. He's in the 8th grade at Baker. He said, Mr. Allen, what can I do to make legitimate money? Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be on the street. So if I feed that interest, say, hey, you could come cut my grass, maybe it's $10, $15 every now and then, that keeps him out the streets for a little while longer. But as soon as I say, bro, I don't have nothing for you, bro, maybe come back later, mm-hmm. and I show him that I'm not there for him, mm-hmm. then what does he have left to turn into? So it's consistently, it's me, you, the other brothers mm-hmm. in this community consistently being there for them and showing them when they see us that they see respectable young men, mm-hmm. that they see men that want to promote positivity. They mm-hmm. see men that are handling their business, taking care of their families. This is coming out of the mouth of some eighth graders at Baker Middle School. They want to see men with their pants pulled up. They want to see men, again, taking care of their families. They want to see men promoting what we want to see out of them, basically. We can't tell them that we want to see them lead successful lives, but we're out here doing any and everything under the sun.
Come on. You can't tell them do as I say and not as I do.
Oh, absolutely.
So you got to live the example. Yes, you got to live the example. That's what you get into. And what I also heard you say is that, you know, you can give a man a fish and feed him for a day, or you can teach him how to fish and feed for a lifetime.
Absolutely.
But, William, we also know, is since we're speaking in cliches, that you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
At all.
You can't make him drink.
No, and not only that, but I want to piggyback on that prison industrial mm-hmm. situation. Mm-hmm. Like I said, knowing the situation of being behind those walls and actually being a person to lock them in that room every day, lock them in that room. Like, we had to lock them in the room at 6 o'clock and then bring them out at 6:30, 7 o'clock. What people don't know is that the Department of Juvenile Justice has made it to a point where the children have more power than the officers.
Good Lord.
And it's to a point now where that's the reason why people don't understand that vicious cycle is happening. You saying once they introduce, it's like they never come back. That's the reason. Because they can go in there, do wrong, and be rewarded for it.
Right.
And that's something that there's no consequences anymore.
And you know what gets me too is that those that try to make the argument of, you know, they just want to have reform now so they can get their friends and their cousins out of jail. It's not about that. If you really care about government budget, then you should be concerned about the amount of money that we're putting into our correctional system.
Exactly.
In the state of California right now, it costs more to in jail someone than it does to pay a full year's tuition at Yale University. That's a problem.
That's a huge
80,000 per child.
That's a problem.
That's a huge
80,000 per child. And look it up.
Yeah. And here in Georgia, we're paying an astronomical amount for our youth that are in the Department of Juvenile Justice because they require more than just an adult that is in jail. A child, even a child in jail, still has a constitutional right to an education. We have a full school system in DJJ that people don't even know about.
Right.
Oh.
Superintendents, teachers, principals, everything. A full Absolutely. School system people are totally unaware of. These are resources we're having to dispense in another area when we need to be spending money on our local education. Exactly. Teachers need raises.
Exactly.
Bus drivers need raises. Paraprofessionals need raises. Janitors need raises. Cafeteria workers mm-hmm. need raises. But we're constantly cutting money from things that matter like education, and we're wondering why the state is going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah. And, you know, and speaking of that, because I do know some of those instructors that work in DJJ, and they mm-hmm. do a phenomenal job.
Amazing job.
With working with they those do. Kids. And even a lot of them are underfunded, and that just goes to show that our educational system in general, whether it's in or out of the system, it has to change.
Well, how do we compete internationally if we continue to cut education?
Ooh. You can't,
because when I worked overseas in South Korea as an English teacher, the only thing that didn't make us make them better.
Wait a minute, Will, you worked overseas in South Korea?
Yeah, I was an English teacher over there.
Bruh,
and Saudi Arabia.
Your experience is...
And Saudi Arabia.
So you've taught internationally. You've worked in the prison system here. Now you work as a supervisor with Girls Inc. See, you and Justin are some of those hidden jewels that I keep telling. When people ask me, Teddy, where the young leaders at? And I keep telling them, y'all, they out there. They out there. But people in Radio Land, you are listening to two phenomenal young leaders here in this city right now. Listen to their experience. Listen to what they're telling you. Listen to what they're saying they have managed before and worked with and worked around. Don't judge them by their age.
Right.
Don't judge them because they look young. Dr. King was 24 when he got started to say, I'm changing this country.
Absolutely.
When he moved the whole country to pass civil rights. To do what we got to do, because we have some young folks out there that need to be saved. We have some communities that need to be restored to the glory that they were once known for.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some strong communities in this city, and people still live in those communities that remember those days of community acceptance and loyalty and comfort and safety. And children could roam the street. And, you know, at one point this year, we had folks riding around snatching our children.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Unbelievable stuff. Just Absolutely. Totally unbelievable. Well, you know, I tell you, fellas, man, we are having a great conversation. Time always flies. So we got to get ready to cut this short. But I want to leave you. I want you to leave us with just one word of encouragement. And just, you know, say something to our young boys out there, if you will, any that may be listening. Send them a word of encouragement.
Okay. My name is William Chisholm. I want to say to every family, young boy, young girl, anyone that's out there right now, I'm willing to sit down with whoever I can, whenever I can, to get you properly protected for you and your family. Let's talk about businesses. Let's talk about getting you started. All it takes is a little money to get you started. And I'm willing to help you at any time. I'll put my number out there as well if I need to. 706-289-4187. My name is William Chisholm. I'm willing to sit down with you, your family. Let's talk about financially setting your family for life. Let's get together and work together so we can help other families learn. When I give you game, what's the worst you can do? Get some banking tips? Learn about how to get some more money for your family.
It takes a sacrifice.
Exactly. But guess what? If I give you something that can help you better your family, guess what? The kingdom gets the glory.
The kingdom gets the glory. Absolutely.
And that's what we need to start doing, is giving back. So if any of y'all need that, my name is William Chisholm. You can call me anytime. I'll leave cards here with my brother Reese, because I know he gives back to the community every single day. Been like this since the day I met him. Never once did we ever have an issue at Albany State. This man, when I say was a bulldog for our people, when I say this man stood up for our people at Albany State, I knew this dude was something special.
Mm-hmm.
SDA president, how many times, bro?
2 years, bro. But you know, it was all God.
Exactly.
It was all God. You know,
exactly.
People question my motives. People question my actions like they're going to question yours. But guess what? It's not your job to respond to them. It's your job to stay on the mission that God put you
That's
on.
That's right.
Justin?
Absolutely. I just want to say this. You know, it's always darkest before the sun rises. So, right. You know, even in times of darkness, you know, look for the sun. It's coming. You know, Teddy, you've said it a number of times. There are young people out here that are working. You know, a lot of times we don't see them because they aren't posting on Facebook and social mm-hmm. media. You know, but keep grinding. Keep your head up. And I also do want to take this time to thank those that have come before us. My yes. granddad,
Absolutely.
You know, Mayor Pro Tem, yes. Councilman
yes.
Hughley, you know, mm-hmm. Everyone that has done so much for this community. We do appreciate you all. Mm-hmm. We love you all.
Absolutely.
You know, and we want to continue to further the legacy of what our black leaders have done. You know, and I think once we all can agree that, you know, all we want to do is make better for our communities, then I think
Absolutely.
The conversation becomes a lot better, and then the actions follow those conversations.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
I think it's time for those conversations to stop a little bit more, for those actions to pick up.
To pick up.
Absolutely.
You know, quoting a very phenomenal leader here in this community, Calvin Smyre, he would always say, if you see a turtle on a post that didn't get that by itself,
right.
somebody put it up there.
Exactly.
And he was alluding to the fact that we all stand on the shoulders
oh, yes,
of giants.
Sir.
And
yes, Justin, sir.
That's exactly what you just said.
Yes,
and
sir.
Every opportunity we get to thank those giants, we need to do that. And every opportunity we get to learn and absorb some of that wisdom and knowledge from those giants, we need to do that. I'm just going to say real quickly so we can wrap the show up. Risk being seen in all of your glory.
Hallelujah.
Risk being seen in all of your glory. Let it shine.
Church.
Let it shine. Let it shine.
Hallelujah.
This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I want to thank Justin Allen and William Chisholm again. Again, two phenomenal guys. If you were not impressed with these gentlemen today, I don't know. You got to re-listen to this show again, because you heard credentials. You heard plans for the community. You heard a way forward. You heard a vision. You heard compassion. You heard leadership. You heard it all from young black men right here on Sunday Conversation again today, as you have heard many, many times before. Please continue to listen with us every Sunday. We're not going to give up on our city. We're not going to give up on our young folks, and we're certainly not going to give up on our kids. We're going to make sure they have everything that they deserve, everything that they need to be successful. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese.